Coach, the Jags in the first half, it's not like they got the running game going that well. You played the run pretty well, but they threw the ball well. What was going on there?
Yeah, they I thought we did a good job against the run. Set the edge, build a wall. But, you know, they got us in some man coverage situations. They got us in a couple two deep zones where they ran some crossing patterns. And I think it was really just a combination of not a lot of pass rush. And then, you know, guys can't cover forever. You know, and then some guys were – You know, out of position. We got to coach better. We got to do a number of things better on that front, like I've been saying all year, really. But it was just, you know, in the past when we've played really good defense against the pass, it's always been that great combination of rush and coverage, and we just haven't been able to do a lot of that this year.
Coach, with them, it's pretty clear what the identity is. They're going to pound the rock.
Yeah.
But when Blake plays the way he did, it seems like it transforms the entire team, not just the offense. It feels like it filters all the way through that defense, which doesn't really need it. But is that really the case with them, that they're going to run the ball, but if Blake steps up the way he did, they're going to be tough to beat going forward?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that they've got a good team. You know, you look at their their roster and their all three phases. I mean, you're there on the sideline, you see their special teams players. I mean, backup linebackers that can – good returner, you know, good specialist, you know. Then you talk about pounding a rock. I mean, you're right. I mean, they got two real good tackles. Linder's playing good for them, and you know. But I thought, like I said, I thought we battled hard against the run, and but we struggled against the pass, you know. And that was that's a credit to Blake and a credit to them.
Do you? And I'm sure you do, and you don't have to tell me what the number is. But if I'd have told you before the game you're going to hold them under 4 yards of rush, would you have felt pretty good about that going into the game? Because that's what you did. I think it was about 3.6 or 3.7 that you held them to.
Yeah, no, I would have felt good about that. I mean, I think if I knew we were going to hold them to under 4 yards, I would have said that's a great job. And it was a great job. But, again, you know, if you do that, then, you know, they're going to try to throw it on you, and you got to try to stop them in the passing game. And we had trouble doing that.
It looks like Bortles has matured, because I don't know if he could win this kind of game on opening day where he has to throw it a lot. And you guys did get pressure on him numerous times. Somebody's coming into his breadbasket, but he's able to get the ball off anyway because he's standing in now.
Yeah, we had some free rushers, and he got rid of it. You know, he got rid of it, you know, and so, you know, right before they were able to get home, you know, we had a number of DB blitzes and he was able to get rid of the ball. And that's a credit to him, a credit to how he's being coached by Nathaniel. Nathaniel's doing a good job with him. And, you know, the guy's improved. You know, he's taken a lot of heat in this league, and he's obviously, you know, worked hard to get better, and give him a lot of credit.
Coach, you talked last week about Will Fuller being banged up, but 5 targets, 5 catches. In fact, made that catch where he has to sky for it and go get it.
Yeah.
And when you think about Will, that's – you know, when you think about him down the field or a screen catch and run guy, you don't really think about Will going up and getting a ball the way that he did. I know he's playing banged up. How proud of you of the progress that he's making as he's coming back, even though he's not getting those big down the field plays, but he's making the key catches as he start the 49ers game and then yesterday against the Jags.
Yeah, he's had a good year for us when he's been in there. You know, he is banged up, took a shot against the Rams, and that was a big hit. And, you know, he's playing with, you know, some bruised ribs and things like that. So, Will Fuller's, you know, he's everything that we thought he would be. You know, I think that he works hard. He's a great route runner. He's a really good route runner. And, you know, with Hop gets a lot of attention, and Will comes up for us. Like you said, you know, probably could have gotten it a few more times, you know. Yeah. But, you know, so we had a hard time blocking the pass rush. You know, Will's done a good job for us this year when he's been in there.
With a couple of games to go, the situation being what it is that the kind of thing you're looking at, guys, to improve their game, make the most out of these reps they're going to get in the final couple of games?
Absolutely. I mean, I think you got a lot of guys that are going to get a bunch of opportunities, you know, young guys that are going to get a bunch of opportunities. So I think that, you know, that's a big thing for them. I mean, and, you know, what do you want to put on film? You know, what do you want to leave out there? And then as a team, just to continue to battle hard. You know, this obviously Pittsburgh is going to be a very difficult game for us. You know, that's nobody's going to say, you know, this is going to be a tough game. You know, this team's 11-3 and one of the best teams in football. So I just want our guys to, you know, be ready to go on Wednesday. Let's have a good week. Let's fly around on Monday and let's try to take advantage of our opportunities.
Coach, you and I talked about this a little bit after the game, and my point in asking you about practice and getting a good, solid practice at this time of year, how valuable is it to get a consistent practice with the guys you think you'll be going with on Monday? How important is that at this time of year when you're trying to get guys healthy just to get them back for Monday, But how important is it to get them out there to actually practice and get kind of in a rhythm and work on what they're going to see against Pittsburgh as opposed to just doing mental reps on the side, getting the day off?
Yeah, no, it's huge. I mean, practice is huge, you know, and a lot of guys, just because of the amount of football they've played and all the things that they're trying to do on the field, it's hard to get them out. It's hard to practice, for them to practice, you know, because they're banged up, whether it's, you know, banged up joints or, you know, trying to come back from a concussion. You know, we've experienced a lot of that this year. You know, it's been tough on that front, but you know, part of it is you got to get these guys to the gate on game day, and that's the goal. And so if they can have a good mental week, maybe give us some reps on Thursday or Friday and then be ready to go on Monday, that's the goal. It's and then other guys, the younger guys, you know, the guys that are a little bit more fresh, those are the guys you really kind of, going back to what Vandy said, you want to give them a bunch of opportunities in practice to get better. That's a big thing.
All right, let's talk about that in relation to the offensive line, because you're already in a musical chairs situation, and then during the game you have to switch around again, losing a couple of guys in the course of action. At training camp is where you get that kind of good practice in, a little bit more physical with these guys, right? During the year, it's got to be a lot tougher, because I know you sub out guys at different spots during training camp just to give them a taste, just in case.
Yeah. The rules, you know, and we talk about this a lot, and I'm careful, because the rules, everybody's playing under the same rules, but I do think as a league we need to look at the padded practices. I mean, we after training camp you're only allowed 15, 11 in the first 11 weeks, and then whatever it is, you know, four over the last 5 weeks or whatever it is. So we won't be in pads. You know, we just, what we do sometimes once a week is we'll have some of the younger guys bring pads out. We'll do some work with them. But relative to the offensive line and things like that, you know, we've had some injuries up there, and you know, we haven't had the same five guys in there all year, and that's a difficult thing. You know, when it's a different five every week, you know, they don't get a lot of chemistry playing with each other, and that's a difficult thing. But there's nothing you can do about that. You just have to keep plugging away and keep coaching, keep giving them the reps in practice, and see if we can get them to improve.
Coach, I don't know if you've gotten too far into the Pittsburgh film, the details of it, but we've seen Ben for a long time. You've coached against this team before. What do you see with Pittsburgh coming in here on Christmas Day?
Explosive team. I mean, defensively, very, very, very tough team. I mean, they got a good scheme, good players, good coaching. You know, I would say, you know, gave the Patriots, you know, a lot of issues last night. Gronkowski came up big. Obviously, Tom came up big in the game. But and then offensively, explosive. I mean, I know Antonio got hurt and probably, you know, sounds like he won't play against us, but they've got other guys. You know, it's not just him, Martavius Bryant. I mean, you know, Le'Veon Bell. I mean, they're using him everywhere. They use him out there, receiver, run slants for touchdowns, you know. So, and I think their offensive line is one of the best in football. So, and then special teams, got a lot of good, you know, players on special teams. Boswell, we've had here, good kicker. So, you know, it's a big, big, you know, obviously a huge challenge for us. But, you know, we're playing on Christmas. We're playing at home. And, you know, our guys will be up for the challenge.
It's funny with Roethlisberger, because whenever you hear these quarterback debates, who's the best or among the best of all time in this era, whatever, it's almost like he gets brought up after everybody else. And maybe he shouldn't be brought up after everybody else based on what he's been able to accomplish in his career.
I mean, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I mean,
yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, two Super Bowls. And
right. Appeared in another one.
But if you really, you know, like you really watch the game like you guys do, you know, you watch the tape. I mean, the guy plays the game in a very calm way. He's got great command of the game. You know, it's just I think he's a great player. You know, I think he's big, he's tough, he gets pounded back there, but he stays in there, delivers the ball, throws the ball with great accuracy, great timing, very hard to sack because of how big he is, still has some athleticism, able to, you know, avoid the rush, ran for a couple last night. You know, I think the guy's one of the best quarterbacks, not right now, but to ever play the game, in my opinion. That's how I see the guy.
Did you get a chance to watch Patriots Steelers at all last night?
Yeah, I watched some of it on the plane.
When you're watching it, knowing obviously the New England personnel and scheme which they run against Pittsburgh, are you kind of going, oh, I would have run this, or I think this might work? Are you watching kind of from that way, or are you watching just as a fan?
I was just watching it more as a fan, probably, Johnny. You know, I get more done relative to what you're asking about on the coach's film, but
yeah.
I just thought it was a great game. I mean, wasn't that a great game?
Yeah,
I mean, it was a great game.
I mean, it's fantastic. I sort of wanted Pittsburgh. I sort of wanted Jesse's score.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see what Tom would do with 30 seconds left.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I think that's one of the great things about the NFL is watching the great ones do their work at the end of a game.
Yeah, that's no doubt about it. I feel the same way as you. That's a pretty interesting way to look at it. You know, on the catch that you asked me about earlier, you know, he caught the ball. The ball went over the goal
right.
line, but it didn't survive the
yeah.
ground. That's a tough deal, man. But that's the rule. They got the call right. You know, the ball was moving. But yeah, no, you're right. You know, it was tough that they didn't get that touchdown there.
Along those lines, you talked about DeAndre, and I know we do this every week, but when you're watching the great ones, they do make it look easy. And he makes some of those incredible sideline catches look easy. And in
yeah.
slow motion, you're just thinking, there's no, wow, look at him. He's
well,
got his hand underneath
it. The way he stretches
it.
His body or
yeah.
the catch he made for the touchdown yesterday was
looked
incredible.
Like he was tackled even before the ball
oh,
went out there, maybe.
I'm telling you, I mean, I'd probably get fined or whatever. But, I mean, this guy, it's a wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
Like TJ said it best after the game, it's a fist fight on every play. Like, yeah. they don't – they could call something every time. I mean, yesterday, you know, we get called for holding. He's getting, you know, just absolutely wrestled at the line of scrimmage, and they're not calling it. Defensive holding, it should have been an offsetting penalty. I mean, it's ridiculous. But we complete the pass to him still.
Right.
Because that's how good he is.
Yeah.
You know, you put it in the spot, he's going to make the play, you know. So, you know, it's just a tough deal. But, yeah, no, he's a great player.
You know, it's funny with the wide receivers. Sometimes I say these guys are like artists. You know, it's yeah. hard to debate who's the best because you had Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins on the same team.
Yeah.
Andre's last really productive season. You've had Welker and Randy Moss, really
yeah.
great receivers, but they're all kind of different in their
yeah.
skill sets.
Yeah, they're all very different. I mean, you know, it's hard to compare Hop to anybody. You know, sometimes people ask me about his hands. I mean, Randy Moss had incredible hands, you know. You know, people asked me to compare him to Andre. Andre was a different player, especially when we had him, but even earlier in his career, you know, with the speed and the size that he had, even a different type of size than what Hop has. You know, Hop is a very unique player because of his length, his catch radius, and his hands. He's got enormous hands, as you guys know, and he can catch everything away from his body better than really any receiver I've ever been around.
When you have receivers, and I'm talking – running backs, tight ends, slots, outside guys, whatever. And we're talking about the catch rule. What do you instruct them, coach, about the catch and making the catch when you're going to the ground?
Yeah.
I mean, is that something that you teach them or it's innate that they just have the ball? I mean, Hop, it doesn't matter where he's got it. He's got that thing. So it seems innate. But what do you teach your guys about the catch rule and maintaining the catch all the way through?
It's hard to drill that, Johnny. I'm not sure you can really drill it.
Yeah.
We do some things for it, but I think the big thing is showing it to him on tape. So we'll show the Jesse James play to him on tape and just tell him, like, look, you know, my recommendation is to not stretch the ball out here because of the rule, is to get your hand underneath the ball mm-hmm. and put it into your belly. Like Gronkowski did
yeah.
on his catch that he
yeah, down low.
That he took off the grass there and got his hands underneath it and wrapped it into his belly and just kind of rolled and got touched down. I mean, that's really what you got to do relative to this. We do talk to Hop a lot about when he goes up for the Dez Bryant Green Bay play in the playoffs. You know, we talk to Hop a lot about that. Like, hey, look, man, just make sure you secure the catch. Don't worry about reaching the ball out. There's nothing good that can come from that because it's hard to, you know, survive the ground when you do that. So, you know, we do show it to him. We talk to him a lot about it. Not easy to drill, but
yeah.
we definitely harp on it.
Speaking of the word survive, you know, we see the injury report every week.
Yeah.
But there are a whole lot of things going on with the players who are playing that we'll never hear about, right? These guys are playing through all
yeah.
sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's got – you even have to marvel at some of the things they're able to do.
Absolutely. I mean, these guys you know, they're putting it on the line for us. You know, that's why, you know, look, yesterday was brutal. Like, don't get me wrong, it was a bad day. But, you know, you do have a lot of, you know, respect for these guys, you know, putting it out there. You don't want to even mention names because it's every one of them.
Right.
You know, you can't go – if you mention this guy's name, you're leaving out somebody else because they're all banged up and they're all putting it out there for you, and that's all you can ask.
I just got to thinking about this a little while ago, Coach, as we were talking about guys being banged up at the end of the year and younger players. Just your opinion, do you feel like a developmental league would be good for the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
Like NFL Europe or something?
Yeah, if you had old World League or
yeah.
you know, whatever the case might be, something like that where you could get – I mean, I think about Kurt Warner who went over
yeah.
to Amsterdam and, you know, blew it up after the Arena League and
yeah.
came from there.
I think Rohan Davey was over there for
yeah.
a little bit. I mean, yeah, I think for quarterbacks I think it's real good, but I think it's good for any young player to get – you know, maybe even if you're on a practice squad of an NFL roster, but you can go over there – the season is played during a different time of year. There's no substitute for the game reps, but also the more practice reps, there's good coaches that were in those leagues. you know, you remember Jack Bicknell coached the Barcelona team, you know. Doug Marrone played in the World League, you know, and played for George Warhop, you know, was his offensive line coach, who's an NFL offensive line coach. So, you know, you've got a lot of great things that can come out of that. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with money and, you know, who funds that league and things like that. But I would be all for a developmental league.
Didn't Pat play as well?
Pat played 1 year for
I got his football card. I don't know how I ended up with it.
That's your problem.
He played for the Miami Sharks.
We'll have him sign it for you.
Any given Sunday, Miami Sharks. Yeah.
He's already committed to sign it for me, Coach. You don't have to worry about that. I got that.
Coach, the assistant coaches, we talk all the time about how you deal with the players in a situation like this and, you know, getting them to go every week. What about managing the assistant coaches and that part of the game, that part of your job? How does that go?
Yeah, I mean, we're all professional coaches. We have to, you know, show up to work every day. You know, we have a good staff here. These guys really grind. You know, nobody feels good about where we are. We're all competitors. We're all trying to figure out a way to get better. Everybody's loyal to each other. There's no outlier that, you know, a finger pointer. I mean, that's not the type of staff we have. If you look at the guys we have, from Romeo Crennel to Mike Vrabel to Mike Devlin to, you know, all the guys we have, and we've all been winners. You know, a lot of us have been to Super Bowls. A lot of us have won Super Bowls. So, you know, we didn't all of a sudden become bad coaches, but we have to do a better job. We have to figure out what we need to do to improve, and that's what we're doing. But our guys work. Like, I mean, you always have to manage the staff when you're in charge like that, but not from the standpoint of, like, you know, picking them up, getting them energized. I mean, they're showing up to work. They're going to work hard to try to get us out of this rut.
At this point, Coach, how tough at this point of the year, because it's the holidays and the season has not gone the way you want, how tough does that make it for everyone to stay on that positive level, so to speak, with everything that's going on with the holidays and Thanksgiving turns into Christmas so quickly? And
I think you got to have great perspective on these things. You know, I really do. You know, it's really funny. That's why I just earlier what I said. I mean, you know, I have great perspective on these things. You know, I'm not happy, and nobody's happy, but, you know, we all do. We got great families. You know, we got things that we care about in life. You know, we were all brought up well, the right way. And you know, these things shall pass. You know, it's not like, you know, it's just, if you look at the history of football and the history of coaches, you know, if you look at all the successful coaching staffs, not head coaches, just coaching staffs, everybody's been through tough times. Players, everybody's been through tough. You don't become a great player by just being great all of a sudden, you know, and, you know, quarterbacks, any position. So I think you have to have great perspective on it. You have to go out. You can't be down in the dumps. You got to go out and really put the work in and be excited to play Pittsburgh in front of the home crowd on Christmas Day. That's a big opportunity for us. So, you know, that's what we're going
to
do.
And you got the longer week to get ready for this one, which is bound to be a big help as far as injuries. But there is that fact of Christmas taking place.
Yeah, I think we got to give them Sunday off, let them go. Mm-hmm. You know, be with their families. And I would do that even if we were, you know, with the Monday game, even if we were in a playoff hunt, because I think that's the right thing to do. You know, I think it's what Johnny was saying. That's what I'm saying. You know, you go, we'll work Monday through Saturday. We'll give them Sunday off, let them spend time with their families for Christmas, and then we'll bring them back, like, you know, Monday morning sometime and have a meeting, kind of do a mini Saturday, you know, on Monday, and then get ready to go play the game at 3:30.
You're on the national stage here. I mean, this is Christmas Day. Yeah. It's huge. I mean, everybody's going to be watching. So despite everything, this is a special occasion unto itself.
Yeah, no question. You know, you're playing on Christmas. You know what people are doing. They're watching football after they open the presents or whatever, they, you know, after they're eating. So, I mean, that's, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to go out there and try to improve and play better play better in front of our home crowd.
Mark's convinced that people want to go to the game because they can't stand their family by the afternoon time. So they end up, let's go do something. And so, hey, let's go to football.
Oh, I'm sure
game.
About that. Yeah, I agree with Vandy on that. Yeah, I bet there's it'll a lot be of pretty that. Crowded.
Yeah. There's a reason why all the movies open up on Christmas Day. Okay, let's go to the movies. And in this case, let's go to the game. All right, and that leads us to Ask Bill O'Brien, presented by Amegy Bank of Texas. And the question this week is, your favorite family holiday tradition growing up? What do you got for
us? No doubt it was Thanksgiving for me. It was Thanksgiving. We had in Massachusetts, you had a high school football game in the morning at 10. The turkey's in the oven. And then you know, you go to the game, come back, play touch football. We had a number of kids in my neighborhood play a touch football game that, as we got older, got a little too rough. One kid got his head hit off the mailbox, and I think we didn't play for a year.
the mailbox.
He was in the protocol for a while.
Left a dent.
So, but then you eat, you know, you eat turkey, and that was just a great day for my memory and my growing up. That was an awesome day.
Well, I think we've talked about this in the past, but in Massachusetts, it should be pointed out, Thanksgiving is it.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
huge.
The bowl game.
Some
day.
Of the oldest high school rivalries are in Massachusetts because they've been played. You know, what is it?
Since the Pilgrims,
Wellesley. I can't even think of who they play, but you know, one of those games is like a huge.
The Needham.
Needham Wellesley or something like that? Or
how's the guy from Texas know that? You
good pull, Johnny.
Jeez. Come on.
Johnny knows everything.
Ridiculous. All right.
Johnny's an encyclopedia of useless facts.
Exactly. And I use him every
Brockton.
Day.
Brockton was pretty good.
I use him every day. Yeah. Number one, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
No.
Thank you. Secondly, what is your favorite Christmas movie?
The Red Rifle.
What is it? Christmas Story.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Christmas Story.
That's the best.
Isn't that the best? I could
That's
watch that six times a day.
That's the best.
I think it's on
and then
six
the
times
other
a day.
One is, you know, the old one with Jimmy Stewart. I can't think of the name.
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. That's a great movie.
Back to the high school thing for a moment, though, because there are hot and cold running high school games in the postseason in this building.
Yeah.
So do you ever go out there just for like 10 minutes and just have a look at the at the young guys?
I love it. I actually know a little bit the Katy head coach. I mean, I watched that team play. I'm like, these guys are unbelievable.
I call it the University of Katy.
I mean, they're a machine, but I love going out there and watching the high school, you know, because of Texas high school football. Johnny knows there's nothing bigger than that, you know, relative to high school football. So, I love it. And our players go out there. I know a bunch of our linemen have been to all the games, sit in the stands and watch the game. You know, everybody loves Texas high school football.
So I've talked to a lot of NFL players, and a lot of them say high school. There was just nothing like that.
Yeah.
So why is that? What is so special about that, the grassroots of it all?
The purity of the game. I mean, you know, obviously you're not getting paid to play the Friday nights. You're playing under the lights. Mm-hmm. The emotion, your parents in the stands, your girlfriend in the stands, you know, whatever. I mean, I think it's I just think you're playing for your town, you know. There's so many things that are great about high school football. I love high school football.
When you were a coach at Penn State, were you able to get out and get to some Pennsylvania high school football on Friday nights?
Yeah, I did. I went to a few, mostly postseason, like the playoffs there were pretty big. They played them in Hershey. You know, I saw some really good teams play, you know, in Hershey, teams from Pittsburgh. And I went to a few games. You know, my recruiting schedule is a little bit different, you know, than it is probably for those guys now, because now there's that early signing day.
Yeah.
So
tomorrow.
Yeah, so they probably go to more than I did. But I went to all the state championship games, which was pretty cool to see that.
I don't know if you can share this with us, but when you're in a situation like this, and a lot of people want to see the Steelers lose, people who have playoffs on their mind, and it would benefit them to see the Steelers lose, do coaches talk to each other about that kind of thing? Because
No.
you've been in that situation the last few years.
Yeah. No, you know, you probably think that we do, but no. I mean, nobody,
it's like, try this play.
No, this league is very – there's none of that. I've never experienced that in this league. You know, people ask me all the time about coaches talking to coaches. Well, I talk to a lot of coaches, but it's really more about like the rules of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about you know, how we see the game being called. You know, the trends, the CBA. We talk about, you know, how we can improve the game. There's some awesome guys in this league that have great thoughts about it. John Harbaugh, you know, Jason Garrett, Ron Rivera. You know, a lot of guys. Sean Payton, obviously. Bill Belichick. I mean. That's what we talk about a lot. And then if we're not talking about that, it's about family. It's never about like, hey, I saw you ran this double reverse against Pittsburgh. Like, how did you – they'd be like, what? They'd never talk to me again. No, we don't ever. Really? That's never
that's
part of the
code, game. Huh? That's, even at the owners' meetings and the
no
off season.
None of that.
That doesn't come up on an AFC head coach group text?
No. Hey, what are you – I saw where you did this on that. And what were you thinking there? That would be a quick hang up.
All right, Coach, thanks a lot. Good luck this week.
Thanks, guys.